David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. John said he is precious. By leaning on his bosom, so for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way, he makes a way? And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Enjoyed that. Amen. Very good. All right, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I told him he sang that on purpose just to make me look bad. Of course, if you weren't here Sunday night, you don't know what I was doing. I tried to sing that chorus Sunday night, but Tony sings it a whole lot better. And all the lessons I gave him are paying off. Amen. So that's a joke for sure. That's a great song, and I love the words of that song. Amen and amen. I would also appreciate your prayers this week for Ben and his family. They will, Lord willing, leave tomorrow afternoon from Madagascar, be here on Thursday afternoon if everything goes well, and we trust that it will. So we're looking forward to them being here on furlough. And so this time O'Hare will be a place of good tears. Amen. And when we see him on Thursday, Lord willing. If you found Romans 15 and you're able to stand, join me. Romans 15, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. Paul writing here, and he says in verse 25, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." This is the fourth Sunday morning we have been in a message or a passage in the scripture, I should say, that talks about the country of Macedonia. And the Lord kind of put the country of Macedonia on my heart just in the Bible reading. It's mentioned over and over again throughout the New Testament. And I thought, I'm just going to start preaching on some passages in the New Testament that mention Macedonia, and this is one of them. So this is the fourth message on that subject. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. None of us loves you to the degree that we ought to. But we love you, God, to some degree, and we thank you for your love for us, which makes it possible for us to love you. And now we need your help. It's been a busy week, and a lot of people have been out of pocket and are back in town, and Lord, even staff members and a lot of the church family was hither and yon. And so I'm sure there's a lot of busyness outside the church house that could grab our attention today. But I ask that we might concentrate now on your word, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, fill us with his power, both speaker and listener. Help us today to learn something that could be of a great blessing to others and to us. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I said earlier, Macedonia was a place that God chose for a special purpose in his divine plan. Macedonia is now where today it's the northern part of Greece. That was Macedonia in Bible days. It was a special place in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was there in Macedonia. Macedonia now, not a city, but a country. And Paul was in several different cities in the country of Macedonia, and he spent a lot of time there and traveled to and fro through the country on his journeys. The churches in Macedonia had a great spirit when it came to giving. Did I just lose you? I hope not. You say, are you going to preach on giving this morning? Yeah, I am. Because it's in the Bible. And I don't believe the Bible is compartmentalized between Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Truth is truth is truth is truth is truth. And the truth is, given the things that are going on in this country, this message might be pretty useful for us. People, you can prepare and plan and invest and save, and I'm for all that. Strong man retaineth riches. That's okay. But if your financial life is not built on biblical principle, you understand that all that we can do will be gone in the blink of an eye. You think there were no wealthy people in 1929? You know what they did? They jumped out of buildings, committed suicide. If our financial well-being or financial life is not built up, biblical principles are timeless. Timeless. So I'm not scared to preach on this. You always want first-time visitors, but generally what happens, you have first-time visitors and you preach on giving and they leave. Every church I ever go to, that's all they do is preach on money. And you know I don't preach on money, but I don't neglect it either because it's found in the Word of God. The churches in Macedonia had a great spirit when it came to giving. The churches in Macedonia had learned the spirit of giving above and beyond the tithe. Now, wait a minute. They not only had learned it, they became examples of it. Now, there are two reasons found in the scripture for which the churches in Macedonia gave above their tithe. We don't have to make it up. It's in here, okay? Number one, they gave to help poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem. And number two, they gave to support Paul as he spread the gospel. And we learn about Christian giving for those reasons from what happened in Macedonia. And I want to show you this morning two words that I think influenced their principles of giving that Paul taught them and that should influence ours. First of all, right here in this passage, the first word I want to introduce you to is the word duty. The word duty. You find it in verse number 27 toward the end of the verse. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now, I want you to look at verse number 26, okay? The people in Macedonian churches, that's Philippi and Thessalonica, and Berea, they made a certain contribution. Do you see those two words? Now, people, let me start by saying this. A certain contribution is not the same as tithing. Now, that went over like a ham sandwich at a bar mitzvah. But anyway, they had learned the spirit of giving above the certain contribution is not the tithe. Tithing is giving to God that which already belongs to Him. And the Bible teaches the tithe always went to the storehouse, which is today your local church. Now, I want you to hold your finger here in Romans 15, and I want you to look at some verses with me today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's just a few pages to your right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and some of you that have been here will recognize these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. It's located in the country of Achaia. He's writing to them. And he says in verse number 13, so I hope you're there because we don't have a lot of time to wait, okay? And if you're not, just look on with somebody. 1 Corinthians 9:13, Paul says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He's talking about the Jewish temple. And those who minister at the Jewish temple were the priests, okay? And Judaism is on its way out, but the Jews are still have a temple, all right? He says, they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altars are partakers with the altar. I don't have time to go through every scripture I probably should go to this morning, but folks, what those verses is talking about is the Old Testament Jewish form of tithing. They brought their tithe, the tenth of their increase, to the tabernacle, to the temple, and the priests and the singers and the other folks who worked and lived at the tabernacle or the temple, they made their living off of what the Jewish people brought to the temple or the tabernacle. That's what Paul's talking about. Now look what he says in verse number 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Paul was saying, okay, just like it was in the Old Testament and the temple and the Jewish people brought the tenth of their increase so the priest could have something to eat, so the priest's family could have something to eat, even so they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's talking about the fact that this tithing thing has not been done away with after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It was never just a part of the law. It was in existence before the law was given. This is how myself, Brother Bragg, Brother Miller, Brother Andrew, Brother Barajas, our families, this is how our families are supported. The people of Faith Baptist Church bring the tithe, and we live off the tithe. Now, some of the tithe goes to keep the lights on. Some of the tithe goes to pay insurance. Some of the tithe goes to put gas in the buses. Some of the tithe goes to pay for the tracks and all that. But a portion of it goes to supply a living for those of us who serve here full time. Look, somebody says, well, they did away with tithing after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Show me that in the Bible. I don't think you can. Where the Bible is silent, maybe we should be silent. Don't just assume something. To me, and these verses right here, Paul makes it pretty clear. Hey, just like they tithed in the Old Testament to support the priest, we're going to tithe to support the pastor and the assistant pastors in this day and age. It's right here in your book, okay? Now, go back to Romans. So when he says in verse number 26 of chapter 15, that they made a certain contribution, he's not talking about the tithe. The churches in Macedonia and Achaia consisted of mainly Gentile converts. And from what the Bible teaches, Gentiles are in debt to the Jewish people because the Jewish people have blessed the Gentile people in spiritual things. You say, what kind of things? Our Savior came through the womb of a Jewish young woman. Our scriptures came mainly through the pen and the tongues of Jewish prophets and writers. As far as I could tell, Luke was the only Gentile writer of the books that are found in the New Testament. People, it goes without saying that we as Gentiles would be in a heap of trouble, spiritually speaking, if we didn't have a Savior or the Scriptures. We'd be in a heap of trouble. And we got both of those, if you will, the Savior through the womb of Mary and the Scriptures through the tongue and the pens of the Jewish writers. To say that we are in debt to the Jewish people is an understatement. If you and I properly value Jesus Christ and we properly value the Bible, we're in debt to the Jewish people, in debt to them. Paul said, because we are debtors to them for spiritual things, verse number 27, things that are, it is our duty, verse 27, to minister to them in carnal things. What are carnal things, folks? Carnal things are physical things, things that are needed to live in this world. Carnal things are clothes and food and medicine and other physical needs. Those would be considered carnal things. And according to Scriptures, it was the duty of Gentile believers to bless those poor Jewish saints who were suffering persecution in Jerusalem. And I want to say, it is our Christian duty to share with others who are in a time of need. These Jewish people in Jerusalem, they were suffering severe persecution. People, they were not getting a door slammed in their face for trying to talk to somebody about Christ. They were being starved. Serious, serious persecution. And Paul said to these Gentile churches, hey, you've been helped spiritually from these people. Now they're suffering severe persecution. It is your duty to help support their physical needs. And Paul didn't just come up with that on his own. He wrote that under the inspiration of God. That's how you should read the Bible. That came from the inspiration of God. It is our Christian. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Turn over there with me. Just a few pages, a few books to your right. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28. And I hope you got a strong constitution this morning, because I don't want to upset your stomach with the verse that we're about to read. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28. Look at what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, a Gentile church, basically. Let him that stole steal no more. That'd be a good Christian thing. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to what? Have to give that him that, what? Needeth. Now, I'm preaching the Word of God this morning. One of the reasons we labor to earn money is so that we can share with those who are in need. That's what he said here. The way that verse reads, it's our duty to labor for that purpose. You say, Brother Angel, does that mean that we have to give everything we earn away to others? No, not at all. But it does mean that it is our duty to take some of what we earn and share it with those in need. That's what Paul said. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Turn back a few pages to your left. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And by the way, the people who have learned what the churches in Macedonia had learned about giving, the people in this church who have learned the spirit of grace giving, this kind of preaching doesn't bother them, because they know it's a key to blessing. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And the good he's talking about in Galatians chapter 6 is physical good, physical needs. You say, well, that takes me off the hook, Pastor, because it takes every dime I earn just to pay my bills. I don't even have an opportunity. Now, I understand that there may be seasons like that. But sometimes, folks, we have spent so much on ourselves that there is no opportunity to be a blessing to others. And I want to say this, our desire ought to be to get to the place in our financial condition so that we can fulfill our duty to be a blessing to others. Because we're talking about big time things here. This is Bible Christianity. I'm talking about Bible Christianity. Christianity is not for keeps. Salvation is. Praise God. It's eternal. When you get it, you don't lose it. Everything else in the Christian life. It's not for keeps. I'm not talking about just money. But that's included. Before you get squeamish about giving to help those in need, think about how many people you help in paying your bills. And I'm not talking about your utilities or your mortgage, things that are necessary. I'm talking about the peripheral things of life. How much money do you give the cable company? Say, well, I really didn't come this morning to hear this. I know, but Sunday morning is the only time I get some of you here, so I got to give it to you while you're here. How much do you give the retailer for gadgets? How much do you give the retailer for pet food? Who's living well off the money that you spend on pet food? Who's using their wages to buy alcohol and smoking dope? Paul said, hey, when you have an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, take advantage of it, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Save people. All right, this is Bible. This is Bible. This is the Word of God. I'm not saying that we cannot enjoy, and you know, I probably should stop and say this. How much do we give the retailer for hobbies? Ammunition? Lost some of you guys on that one, didn't I? Huh? I'm not saying that we cannot enjoy some of the peripheral things of this life. I'm saying, folks, we should not get stingy when it comes to helping those who are in a time of need. Good people find themselves in a position of real need once in a while. Do you know that? Real need. And either we believe the Bible or we don't. And by the way, if a Bible truth makes us a little uneasy or it makes us a little uncomfortable, that's okay. But just don't resist it. Don't resist it. It's our Christian duty to help others when we have the opportunity. Most Wednesday nights here, we take an offering that fits the category of what I'm speaking about today. It's basically an others offering. It's designed, it doesn't stay in the coffers of Faith Baptist Church, doesn't pay any of our bills or salaries. It goes to help someone who is in a time of need. For instance, recently, it was Linda Sigstad, missionary Mark Sigstad's wife, over in Nigeria for how many years? I mean, they were there for a long, long time, and she's battling with Parkinson's disease and a little bit of dementia, and she fell and she broke her hip, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. And we took up three or four offerings on Wednesday night, sent them a sizable offering to help with their medical needs. That's what these verses are talking about. Some of you who are here, you know, you say, well, I'm not here on Wednesday nights. Well, first, why not? But I'll keep moving. Second, does that take you off the hook? Well, I don't carry cash. Well, why not? People carried cash for hundreds of years, people. Okay. But I know there's going to be an others offering. And by the way, do you ever participate in it? Well, that was quiet. And by the way, this works for young people as well. A lot of you young people are working. And I'm not saying giving away your life savings. I'm not telling you that at all. But man alive, when that plate passes and you got a couple of bucks, you say, what's that? What's that? What's that do in the grand scheme of things? Maybe it kind of obeys Scripture? I'm just saying. Just saying. These are Bible verses. I'm not talking about helping those who do not help themselves. I'm not talking about helping those who do not work. I'm not talking about helping those who are undisciplined financially. I'm talking about those who find themselves in a time of legitimate need, and the Jewish believers in Jerusalem were in a time of legitimate need, and it was the people of the churches in Macedonia's duty to help them. Their duty. That's what Paul wrote. Now, folks, either we have a Bible that's written for us or we don't. We don't. And so here's the first word, duty. Duty. It is the duty. Okay, now wait a minute. It was not only their duty to help others who were in time of need. It was their duty to give to spread the gospel to others. It was their duty. The commission to send the gospel so every creature could hear it was given to the churches of Macedonia. You say, well, why the churches of Macedonia? It's given to every local church. Every local church that's made up of born-again baptized believers must take the great commission to send the gospel to the world personally. It's not only for big churches or old churches. It's for churches of any size and any age, because the message of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is the most important message for all of human history. And every person needs to hear it. And the Bible gives us the great commission from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice. If Jesus said it once, it's important. But he didn't just say it once or twice or three or four. He said it five times. And his last words before he ascended to heaven were, ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know what happened? The Macedonian churches, they took that seriously. They gave above the tithe to help Paul spread the gospel. And I was going to have you turn over to 2 Corinthians this morning. I won't do it for sake of time. He talked about those men who came from Macedonia. And when they came, they supplied his need. Paul was in a time of need. He was running short on livable cash. And the churches sent him money. And the men from Macedonia gave it to him. And the churches in Macedonia gave to Paul's time of need. And remember what Paul told them? But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. I'll make a statement. I'm not just blowing smoke this morning. I believe this with all my heart. Greatest insurance policy for financial disaster is missions giving. Well, I've got mine secure. And I really, I'm going to tell you where it's secure, folks. It's secure when it's coming from him. He doesn't have a financial failure. I'm serious this morning. Very, very serious. Very serious. At times, this is not the time to be speaking about a message on giving. It might be the very time to give a message about giving. It might be the very time. As we exercise our duty to supply the need for those spreading the gospel, God is going to exercise his promise to supply our need. Not all of our excessive wants, but all our need. All of our need. And the Lord put Macedonia on my heart as I was reading my devotions, and I started looking up all the verses that deal with Macedonia. And the first message came, the second message came, last week's message came. We're on this one today. We'll probably be on one more next week, and that's probably it. So when I saw the Macedonian churches about the giving, I knew it. When I realized, oh, well, boy, yeah. Well, I can't talk about that at church. I'll make people mad. I can't do that, folks. I got to preach the gospel truth across the board, Bible truth. So then I get our financial report for the first. Brother Luke gives us a brother Barajas and myself a printed out spreadsheet for the first month by month. And we have a 3-year comparison. We have 21, 22, and 23, month of January, and then February, and then March, April, May. So he just got the one, and he keeps it going, accumulating. And we got the one that ended with the month of June. And our general fund giving is up from last year. Significantly. Our missions fund is down $4,000. What? What? I'm trying to make that compute. And I'll tell you what, folks, the truth of the matter is, that's for the first 6 months of this year. And if that trend continues, we will experience the first drop in missions giving since we started in 1992 or 93. So I just can't give the missions anymore because it takes more. I get it. I talked about that last Sunday night. The buying power of the dollar is diminished. Oh, wages are going up and up. Look at this chart. Look at wages. They're off the chart. Yeah, look how much those wages buy. They're plunging into the well, brother Schrock. I talked about that last Sunday night. I get the overall spending power of the dollar. I get it, but let me. If we finish a little short in missions giving, I'm not going to, oh my goodness, blow a gasket. But I will tell you this, folks, I'm not preaching this, Brother Schrock, for our missionaries' benefit as much as I am for ours. God blesses that. And it was their duty to send the gospel to the world. That's exactly what we've been doing all these, you said 29 years now, for Dave and Gina in that country where they serve. Our church, and well, Pastor, just let the other churches do it and miss all the blessings? I don't think I'm going to do that. Miss out on obeying God? I don't think so. Obedience is the key to blessing, folks. It's our duty. It's our duty to share with those who are in a time of legitimate need, and it is our duty to support those who are spreading the gospel to the world. And just like they did in the first century. This is not new. This is the first century. All right? Now, there's the first word, duty. The second word's a lot shorter time element, but it is no less important. The second word is the word grace. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at it here. The first word is duty. The second word is grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Okay, and we're going to read about the churches of Macedonia. That's what our message is about. Macedonia, that special place that God used and blessed, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to pay attention to, of the grace, there's the word, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So here's the second word. The first word in this matter is duty. The second word is the word grace. And for some of you who might be a little uneasy about what I'm talking about this morning, can I tell you that what I'm talking about is something that cannot be accomplished through the work of the flesh. It's accomplished by a work of grace. People get all worked up about the matter of giving and they focus only on the obligation of it, but there is far more blessing in it than there is obligation. So the duty can become enjoyable if it's free-spirited, and it can be that way if we embrace the grace of God. God's grace changes people. And it doesn't end with just saving our souls from hell. God's grace and favor, unmerited favor, continues to work in our lives to change us into an unselfish individual. God's grace frees the drunk from alcohol. God's grace frees the junkie from drugs. God's grace frees the immoral person from immorality. God's grace frees the smoker or vapor from their addiction. And God's grace frees us from stinginess. So this can't be accomplished through the work of the flesh. It has to be a work of grace. I'm going to make some of you mad, but that's okay. There are a lot of financial planners out there nowadays. Some Christian, right? Nothing wrong with some of their principles and some of their things. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you get so zeroed in on a financial planner and his methodology that you can't be moved by the free spirit of God's grace working in your heart to pull a $5 bill out of your wallet and drop it in the plate for somebody that had broke her hip because, well, Mr. So-and-so says I shouldn't give like that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. There's no man that takes the place of God's Spirit. No man. No financial planner, best guy out there. Okay? Get worried about God's people when they build something all around one man that they don't know his manner of life. Know nothing about him. What I'm talking about this morning, I have just gone from Bible verse to Bible verse to Bible verse to Bible verse. So if you don't like what's being said, you're going to have to take that up with God. It's God's grace working in us that changes us, and not just changes us from this or that that we always talk about, changes us from being selfish and opens up our hearts when God prompts us to be a blessing to somebody else. And by the way, grace helps us have the right spirit about giving. Look at verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, the abundance of their joy. Does that sound like arm twisting to you? Does that sound like Paul was twisting the arm of these people in Macedonia? Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Pastor, what does that mean? That means when Paul showed up, they had been taking these offerings for these poor saints, and they're saying, please, Paul, please, look at what we've been able to put together here. Look what God has helped us do. Please, please take this. You've got to take this. Please, don't leave town without this money. Please, for these Jewish saints, don't leave Paul without this money. They're begging him. Begging him. I've been here 33 years. I don't know that I've ever walked this auditorium and somebody said, Pastor, can we do the offering first? Although I will tell you, there was a time we took up that first Pack the Pig offering. That place was electric. Praying us with much entreaty. Paul, don't leave town. Don't leave town without this. Well, you say, well, that's because they just were making tons of money and they had all kinds of money. Excuse me? Did you see verse 1? Verse number 2? Their deep poverty. Deep destitution of property, want of convenient means of subsistence, their deep poverty extending far below the surface, descending far downward, sunk low. You say, how come they were under such distress financially? The Roman government. And the heavy Roman taxes. Under Caesar Biden, excuse me, Caesar. Folks, deep poverty, again, extending far below the surface, descending far downward, sunk low. This whole region of the world, read history. This whole region of the world was under financial oppression. Paul, you got to take this. You got to take this. You got to take. Man, look what the church. Look what God has done. Look what He's helped us. You got to take this. That's Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity. You can read the books of Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There's no mention of them being rich or having an abundance of goods. What is mentioned is they're in deep poverty. Deep, deep poverty. You know what they had in those days, folks? They had a two-tiered financial situation going on. They had the haves and the have-nots. Brother Schrock, it's that way in your country. It's a socialist country. That's the way socialist countries haves and have-nots. And we are becoming a socialist country. This is why I say, look, this may be an important message for those people who are in time of need and for spreading the gospel, but it may be just as important for your well-being and my own. Okay? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Help me. The wealth in every mine. He does. He does. He does. If you need a reason to be a grace giver, Paul gave it in this chapter. You there? 2 Corinthians 8, look at verse 9, I'm done. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what, folks? That ye through his might be what? Yeah. I'm sure glad Jesus was willing to give to some in time of need. And all he gave was himself. His life's blood. So we could be saved. That's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. We have a duty. We have a Christian duty. Born again, child of God, we have a Christian duty to be willing to help those who find themselves in a legitimate time of need. And we have a Christian duty to send the gospel to the world. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to take to see that accomplished in my life and yours. It's going to take God's grace. God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. That's what we need. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the truth from your word this morning. And Lord, I just ask you, this was in the Bible, in the series of messages. It came right along in the course of studying. And Lord, I'm not going to neglect it. And I just pray that you'd help people to receive it this morning in a good spirit. May the word of God find some fruitful ground in our hearts. May it bring forth fruit in my life and the lives of everybody here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus who gave himself so that we could be saved. He made himself poor that we through that poverty might be made rich. How wonderful. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grow up. That free spirit of grace that will work in our life to make us unselfish, not neglecting the needs of our families. But Lord, neither neglecting these important scriptures. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, I don't want to be a stingy Christian. I don't want to be a stingy person. I'd like to have God's grace helping me fulfill my Christian duty. And something that was said this morning was just spoke to my heart. Can I see your hand if that's you this morning, please, wherever you're sitting? God bless you. That's wonderful. I appreciate it very, very much. Let me ask this question. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd go to eternity, heaven or hell. You're not going to go anywhere else. It's one of those two places. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Slip your hand in the air while I wait right now. I see a hand. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, God's grace gives you his gift of eternal life. But if you've never done that, you need to be saved. If you've been saved but not never baptized, you ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless the invitation to our hearts today. Help us to be obedient to you, not resist Scripture, but be tenderhearted. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Song begins, invitation begins, altar is open. If you're not sure that you're saved or you got a question about that, if the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, now's the time to come. Now's the time to come. This is it. If you're struggling a little bit about your salvation, you'd like to talk to somebody about that, now's a good time to come. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, can you just help me a little bit? God's grace will be sufficient for you there. While we wait this morning.